And you are listening to Open Mic Friday on this, oh boy, Friday the 13th of February. Boy, what unluck would happen today. Oh, I know already. We have with us Mary and Joni. And they've got some good news for us. So it's not an unlucky day, is it?
No, not at all. It's never an unlucky day. We are always in the Lord, and we're always full of joy. And we're here today. You know, we have had so many people respond to our 90th anniversary celebration. And we had some more gifts come in, and Mary and I just thought we would share a big thank you. Besides, we thought we'd help you out, Tom, because we know you had lost your voice this week. So we thought we'd give you a little rest.
Thank you very much.
And again, we encourage our listeners to continue to support AM 850 KFUO and KFUO.org, worldwide KFUO, in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. You can contact us. You can call me, Joni Harwell, at 314-996-1512, or you can call Mary Schmidt at
314-996-1518.
And we are always happy to visit with you, chat with you, and to receive your gifts if you are able to financially support us. And remember to keep us in your prayers as well. Today, I'd like to thank Laverne from St. Louis and Dorothy as well from St. Louis, William from Dunwoody, Georgia, Toby from Florissant, Frederick and Mary Lou from Edwardsville, Judith from Collinsville, Andrew and Lauren from Grover, Missouri, Thomas and Sandra from Waterloo, Illinois, Pat and Susan from Beaver, Pennsylvania, Gloria from Belleville, Richard from Perryville, Kim from Santa Maria, California, Betty and Henry from Orange, California, Hattie from St. Louis, Jackie and Paul from Cove, Oregon, Joyce and Kenneth from Nashville, Illinois, Myra from Belleville, Lois from Appleton, Wisconsin, Janet and Raymond from Oakville, Illinois, who gave in memory of Bradley Haar, Sylvia and Fred from Dorsey, Illinois, Ron and Diane from St. Charles, Shirley from St. Louis, Ruth from Troy, Illinois, Daniel and Darlene from Hoyleton, Illinois, who gave in loving memory of Jonathan Brinkman, Walter from Nashville, Illinois, David and Charlotte from Buffalo, Illinois, Jean from Waterloo, Ronald and Peggy from Malta Bend, Missouri. I've never heard of that before. Audrey from St. Charles. Laura and Douglas from Spearfish, South Dakota. Thomas from Waterloo. And a number of gifts came in from the Central Illinois District in Springfield, Missouri. Really, I think this is like 9 or 10 states again that we're receiving gifts from. What a blessing to continue to support the ministry of KFUO, sharing the good news around the world. Mary, do you have some names?
Yes, I would like to thank Lynn of Manitou, Illinois, the Concordia Lutheran Layman's League in Granite City, Illinois, who gave in loving memory of Art Meyer, Jennifer and Solomon of St. Peter's, Missouri, Kate of Staunton, Illinois, Winfred of Alexandria, Indiana, Ronald and Joyce of Lake St. Louis, Stephen and Shelley of Three Forks, Montana, Sylvia and Mike of Hillsboro, Missouri, Joan of Warden, Illinois, Dale and Sandy of St. Louis, Ormond of Shelby Township, Michigan, Hazel of Swansea, Illinois, Bernice of Waterloo, Illinois, Dee from Orange, California, Penny and John from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Paula from St. Genevieve, Missouri, David from Pinckneyville, Illinois, Olin from Steelville, Illinois, Emmaus Lutheran Church from Dorsey, Illinois, Peggy from St. Louis, Marguerite from Bethalto, Illinois, Linda and John from Weldon Springs, Missouri, Lucille from Staunton, Illinois, Robin from Festus, Missouri, Sandra and Norby from Palmyra, Missouri, Rosemary and James from Beardstown, Illinois, Neil and Eula from Madison, Nebraska, Dela from Farmsville, Illinois, Leslie and Paula from Springfield, Illinois, Julia from Indianapolis, Indiana, Dawn and Dwight from Powell, Wyoming, Janet from Godfrey, Illinois, and Kevin and Joy from St. Louis, Missouri. Thank you so much for your support.
So you can see our outreach is all over the place. Gifts are coming in from all over the place. Please continue to prayerfully consider sending a gift to KFUO. As I said, you can call Mary or myself, or you can send it to Worldwide KFUO at 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. But again, my phone number, 314-996-1512, or Mary.
And mine is 314-996-1518.
Continue helping us be the messenger of good news. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you very much for coming in. And one of the reasons you want to listen to KFUO is because we told you ahead of time that the book, remember, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, was filled with lies. We talked about this months ago. Well, guess what? Alex Malarkey, he was 6 years old when he died and briefly visited heaven. He has now said that he made the whole thing up. Isn't that interesting? And you heard that first on KFUO as we examined the book, because it wasn't even in agreement with Holy Scripture. The 2010 book, written by Alex and his father, Kevin, describes what Alex said he experienced after a 2004 car accident left him paralyzed and in a coma for 6 months. But now, in an open letter published on the website Pulpit and Pen, Alex admits the story was fabricated. He wrote, "I did not die. I did not go to heaven. I said I went to heaven because I thought it would get me attention." He's now 16 years old, and he made the claims prior to reading the Bible, and that he doesn't want to continue profiting from lies like so many others. Now, his father, Kevin, who helped write the book, has not yet commented on his son's announcement. But his mother, Beth, blogged a few months ago that she was troubled by the book. "It's both puzzling and painful to watch the book, Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, not only continue to sell, but to continue, for the most part, to not be questioned." I guess they don't listen to KFUO. Alex's name and identity are being used against his wishes. How can this be going on? How did it get this far? According to the Washington Post, Tyndale House, the publisher of the book, announced that they will immediately stop selling the book. While the book will be taken off shelves, other similar books continue to sell, like 90 Minutes in Heaven, Heaven is for Real, and other best-selling Christian books, though they are highly criticized within the Christian community. At the very least, and I'm reading here what I received, Alex Malarkey's story was just that. Malarkey. Yes, we had talked about the book, and we talked about these other books also. And the reason we say that this is malarkey is because there are things in the book that are contrary to the Bible. I mean, one young man was talking about how his father is going to be fighting dragons when he goes to heaven. What? And there are so many items in these books. But why are they selling so well? People love to hear what heaven is going to be like. But once more, all of these books break the Reformation principle that Scripture interprets Scripture, and that the main way of looking at the Bible is through law and gospel. By the way, we are inviting you to attend the seminar we're going to be doing in St. Louis, Missouri, actually Olivet, Missouri, at Emmanuel Lutheran, 9733 Olive Boulevard, on February the 21st from 1 o'clock to 4:30 Saturday afternoon, 1 to 4:30. And due to funds received, we are not going to be charging anybody to come. It's free. This is a great opportunity not only to bring your family, but particularly to bring neighbors or relatives. You don't have to be Lutheran. But we're going to show how important law and gospel is, and the theme is going to be, how can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? How can I be sure that I'm going to heaven? And you'll find the answer very interesting. We're going to have a number of videos, and also our good friends, both Wes Reimnitz and Mark Smith, will be in attendance, so you get to meet them. And we're going to have a number of books for sale at highly reduced prices. So we encourage you to show up for refreshments also, 1 to 4:30 Saturday, not tomorrow, but 2 weeks from now. And we pray for good weather. By the way, you've probably also noticed how my voice came back. Guess when it came back? It came back during yesterday's program with Wes Reimnitz. So either Wes was praying for me or he's got some special healing powers. I don't know what it is, but boy, I sure appreciated it. And it came back during that time, and I'm hoping it'll stay the way it is. It's still just a bit off, but not as much as it was. So the first item I wanted to talk to you about was Boy Who Inspired book, Says He Lied. Now, today we don't have a phone screener, so we're not going to be taking calls, but I've got a couple of other items here that I want to share with you. Did you know that the Atlanta fire chief was fired? Why? Because of his faith. Yes. Even the city of Atlanta's charter and code of ordinances prohibits discrimination based on multiple factors, including creed. But that didn't stop Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed from violating the city ordinance and handing a pink slip to Atlanta Fire Chief Kevin Cochran purely on the grounds of Cochran's faith. What happened? I'm just coughing and turning myself off during that time. Reed's complaint against Cochran is that he authored a book for his men's Bible study. Now, this is his men's Bible study, not for the fireplace, that upholds the biblical view of sexuality, a book that contradicts the homosexual agenda. At first, Cochran was given a month-long suspension without pay in November. And then Mayor Reed announced he would be fired. Before losing his job, however, Cochran was required to complete sensitivity training and was prohibited from distributing copies of his book, Who Told You That You Were Naked, on city property. This is another example of the stripping away of religious liberties in America. You know, it's not that the whole book was about this. No, not at all. This was a lengthy book, 160 pages, and it was just one half of a page on biblical morality addressing homosexuality, where Cochran wrote that sex was created by God for procreation and that he intended it to be between a married man and woman. Any other sex outside of that, Cochran said, including sex outside of marriage, is a sin. Church leaders in Atlanta say Cochran's firing has everything to do with his religious beliefs. Now, we don't have a follow-up on this as to what is happening, but there's no doubt that he was fired in the month, January, and January 16th is Religious Freedom Day, as declared each year by the president. So what we have here is a situation where just because of your faith, you're being denied your job. There is somewhat of a follow-up that hundreds rally for the chief who was fired for his faith. Supporters and friends rallied at Georgia State Capitol building to stand for former Atlanta Fire Chief Kelvin Cochran, who was fired from his job at the start of 2015 for his religious views on marriage and homosexuality. After serving a one-month suspension without pay in November for writing a book for his men's Bible study that called sex outside marriage, including homosexuality, sinful, Chief Cochran faced the wrath of homosexual activists and Atlanta Mayor Kasem Reed and was publicly chastised, ordered to undergo sensitivity training, and summarily fired from his position. But there were 13 speakers who took to the podium in Atlanta at the Stand for Religious Freedom rally. A Christian brother, one said, is facing anti-Christian bigotry at its worst. The mayor and a councilman have shown their intolerance and hatred toward a person of faith and have proven they are willing to take revenge against anyone who doesn't embrace the pro-homosexual lifestyle and agenda. Such targeted anti-Christian views, therefore, they say, are simply against our Constitution and bylaws. So, hopefully there'll be an update on that he'll be restored to his job, because it goes even against the Atlanta Charter. But we'll have to wait and see. There are some pastors among us who think that pretty soon, if we don't marry homosexuals, that we won't be permitted to do any marriages. Well, you know, there's no doubt that in the early church, the Christians didn't do marriages. Even at the Reformation time, what happened was they would get married by a justice of the peace, because that's how a pastor is able to marry people, by means of a justice of the peace. He's considered that. And therefore, what happens is they would get married by a justice of the peace, then they would go over to the worship service where a service of marriage would take place there also, in order to make a point that they are being married in Christ Jesus. That might be something that we're going to need to do again, where when I was in Novosibirsk in Siberia, there was a seminarian who was getting married, and he had to only get married at first with the justice of the peace. And she said some things, there was nothing religious about it. But then afterwards, we celebrated the marriage with a worship service. So, even if we're forced to do that, what I find very interesting is pastors cannot be forced to marry anyone. I've already said it on this program. There were a couple of occasions when I denied marriage to even members of the congregation. How so? Well, if one of them, I'll just give a, I'm not telling you which congregation I was at where this happened, but the woman got pregnant out of wedlock, and the parents said, you have to marry this guy. And I met with both her and her husband-to-be, and he said, yes, I made a mistake. I got her pregnant, but I don't love her. I love somebody else. He had another girlfriend by then. Well, I'm not going to conduct that marriage because the vows would be inappropriate. He wasn't ready to say that he would stay with her. So she had the baby, and other details followed where he's paying part of it. But the fact is, we pastors can deny marriage. If two 12-year-olds came to me and wanted to get married, and even if I was in a state which allowed it, I probably wouldn't do that marriage. So Christian pastors have always had the right and the ability to deny that they would marry someone under certain circumstances because of their religious beliefs. So I don't really see that the government is going to force Christian pastors to marry homosexuals, which would be an abomination before Almighty God. We cannot be put in that position. And if they take away the right to marry, which means you become a kind of a secular justice of the peace, well, then our people will just get married with whichever way the country allows it, and then we'll have a worship service afterwards to declare it to be a Christian marriage. So I'm not really too concerned about that as you look back in history, but I'll still be surprised that in this country, which really boasts about freedom of speech, that Christian pastors are going to be forced to do things contrary to their culture. In fact, something already happened along those lines. A Colorado church refused to hold funeral for a lesbian woman. How did that happen? Well, the church refused to hold the funeral service for a lesbian woman after the family declined to remove photos of her showing affection to her wife, which, of course, was another lesbian. She had died in December. Her funeral service was scheduled at New Hope Ministries in Lakewood, Colorado on January 10th. But shortly before the service was set to begin, New Hope Pastor Ray Chavez discovered the family's memorial videos containing photos of Collier kissing her wife. The church refused to hold the funeral in its building unless the photos were removed, and the family instead decided to move the service elsewhere. They said they didn't agree with her alternative lifestyle and gave the family the option to edit the video, or the family decided they were not going to allow Vanessa's life to be edited. On Tuesday afternoon, friends and family of Collier protested against the church, calling for Collier and other gay people to participate. Now, Pastor Ray Chavez and New Hope Ministries canceled the funeral of her 15 minutes after it was to have begun. And the flowers were laid out. Hundreds of people were sitting in the pews. Now, the person who ultimately conducted the funeral and interment service said that everyone worked hard to resolve the situation. Now, who would I blame here? I really blame the pastor. Didn't he know she was a lesbian? Didn't he know that she was married? I spent quite a bit of time in preparing for a funeral service. In fact, it is my custom that I like to be with the family when they go to the funeral home to choose a casket, because the funeral director asks them a lot of questions. You know, who are they married to? Do they have children? This sort of thing. And I sit there with my sheet filling out my answers. Plus, it also gives me the opportunity to have the funeral at a time when I'm available. How many times does a funeral director decide a funeral at 2 p.m. and he contacts me and I already have something else scheduled for that time? So it's important, I believe, to be at the funeral director's office when all this is going on. And during that time, you would hear, well, we want this video shown during the service. Well, this is just absolutely inappropriate to occur in a worship place of God. It desecrates a sanctuary to show sin at work. I mean, let's say you find out that the person is a child abuser and the family has no problem with that and they would like to show photos of the child abuser, you know, with children. Of course not. Now you say, well, that's really different. No, it's not, because both are sins before Almighty God. Any sin before Almighty God, it would be a travesty to, how shall I say it, to support in a Christian worship service. If the pastor had talked with her and she had repented of her lifestyle, then you could do a Christian funeral. I'm not saying you can't do a Christian funeral for a repentant homosexual, but for an active homosexual, what you're saying is, you know, this isn't too bad. It doesn't stop you from going to heaven, when it's very clear that homosexual activity is a way of going to hell. Now, we still can't judge anybody because we can't read the heart. But we can judge like a jury does and say that that person was guilty of sin. I only gave Christian funerals to people who had public evidence of their faith in Jesus Christ and living a lifestyle that is sinful and not repenting of it is not evidence. And you don't want to give the impression to others that, oh, this is okay. You know, God loves you as you are. Well, he may love you as you are, but he doesn't save you as you are. He saves you as you have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins for your sin. And the church will excommunicate those, not for a sin, but for unrepentance. So I blame the pastor and the church for getting into this problem because they didn't really check out things prior to the service. And I feel sorry for those who attended and then they had to move the service elsewhere and have a pastor, I guess, who agrees with homosexual marriage. And there are a lot of them who do that now, which is an abomination also before Almighty God. Okay. We certainly, again, thank those of you who have been giving to KFUO. And Joni and Mary gave you suggestions how you can continue that. But if you have somebody who would like to know more about Law and Gospel, the thing about the seminar on February 21st at Emmanuel Lutheran Olivet is that we're going to be showing videos, which we can't do on the radio, and making it even more understandable, not only how to use Law and Gospel, but how to understand the Scripture and find insights there that you might not normally find. I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel, and we look forward to hearing from you and visiting you again this coming Monday when we study how God takes care of us. God bless.
To Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122, or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.